One way to read the scripture is, as you read, to put yourself in the story. And that's part of a series that we've been doing. We're calling it, Who Am I? I've been trying to imagine what it's like to be one of the characters in the story, to put myself and to do the sermon from that person's point of view. And so our scripture for this morning comes from the Gospel according to John chapter 6. After this, Jesus went across to the Sea of Galilee, that's the Tiberias Sea, and a large crowd followed him because they had seen the miracle, the miraculous signs that he had done among the sick. Jesus went up a mountain, it's actually more of a hill, and sat down there with his disciples. It was nearly time for Passover, the Jewish festival. Jesus looked up and he saw the crowds coming towards him. He asked Philip, "Where will we buy food for all of these people?" Jesus said this to test him because he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "More than half a year's salary wouldn't buy enough food for each person to have even just a little bit." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "A youth here has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that going to be for a crowd like this?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass there. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. And then Jesus took the bread. When he had given thanks, he distributed it to those who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, each getting as much as they wanted. And when they had plenty to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftovers so that nothing will be wasted." And so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves that had been left over from those who had eaten. And when the people saw what had been this miraculous sign that had been done, they said, "Truly, this is the prophet who was coming into the world." For a long time, my prayers would go something like this. "Lord, if I had $1 million, I'd give it all to you. Lord, if I had 1,000 acres, I'd use it to grow food to feed your hungry people. Lord, if I could sing like the angels, I'd sing only for you." And then on that day on the hillside, I heard the Lord saying to me, "How about a fish?" And I said, "Wait a minute, Lord. I've actually got a fish." One way to read the Bible is to imagine yourself as part of the story. And so that's been what we've been doing through this series that we're calling Who Am I? Putting ourselves in the story. I've been trying to do it from the point of view of one of the characters in the story and ask the question, what would I have seen? What would I have touched? What would I have smelt? What would I have tasted? What would I have heard? What would I have learned? How would I be treating the people around me? And how would my life be different because of having been there that day? You know that there were 5,000 people who were fed that afternoon. The question is, who am I? What are the choices? Some of the characters that were there was Jesus, the one who was doing the teaching. Crowds were following him. There were the disciples. Specifically, the 2 disciples that are mentioned are Philip, who's worried about how they're going to pay for all the food that they're distributing. There's also Andrew, who knows a kid who has a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. There's the 5,000 in the crowd. There are about 100,000 people that lived in that area, so there would have been about 95,000 other people who had no clue that any of this is going on. And then there's the kid who has a couple of loaves of bread and some fish. The question is, who am I? At the end of the sermon message, I'd like to ask you that question again and see if I've been clear enough that you can figure it out. Who am I? I was on that hillside that afternoon, quite frankly, because my parents made me go. I was there with my mom and my dad and my brothers and my sisters. We were all going, whole town was going out, to hear this Jesus guy teach. If I'm really honest, though, that's only partly right. It wasn't just to hear this guy, Jesus guy, teach. We'd been hearing that he was doing miracles, and what I was really wanting to see is a miracle. I wanted to see some magic happen. It's not every day you get to see a miracle. We're not a real religious family, but around the Passover time in the spring, we get a little bit more religious. I go mostly to the Passover festival because I get to see my friends, and we get to hear the stories about Moses again. Usually, I don't like hearing adults talk because they just kind of ignore me. And I admit a lot of this what Jesus was saying, I had a hard time understanding. But he talked differently than a lot of other adults. He didn't mind having kids around. In fact, one time he even said that we ought to all be more like kids. He said, if you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, you need to become more like a child. crowd that was there listening to him teach was so into what he was saying that we kind of forgot. We kind of forgot what time of day it was. We lost track of time. I don't know why everybody just didn't go home and get something to eat. It's like they started complaining about being hungry, and it's like they kind of enjoyed complaining about being hungry. It's like they were looking for somebody to get mad at, and they kind of enjoyed having somebody to look for to get mad at. And I don't think that they noticed, but they just made things worse as they complained. They just got hungrier. They kept complaining, and they got hungrier. Have you ever found yourself caught in a trap like that where you're complaining? We all have problems, and sometimes those problems seem to overwhelm us, and all we can focus on is the problems. My dad's real good at that. At our house, we have a tangerine tree, and usually about half the tangerines on the tree are rotten, and so we pick the rotten ones, and we feed them to the goats. But this year has been a really good year. We've had hardly any rotten tangerines. We've had more tangerines than we knew what to do with. So we've had plenty of tangerines to eat. And the other yesterday, I said to my dad, I said, "Dad, isn't it great that we have so many tangerines to eat?" And he said, "Well, now we don't have anything to feed the goats, though." I overheard Jesus and one of his disciples, Philip, talking about how they were going to find enough food to feed everybody. I knew that I didn't have enough for everybody, but I also had something. I had a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. Mom made me bring them. They were actually for the family, but I was the one who got to carry them. I told the disciple Andrew that I'd be glad to share. I knew that it wasn't much, but at least it was something. I knew at that moment that there was a problem. I knew that I couldn't solve the problem, but I could do something that might help. Would you have done that? If you had a couple of loaves and some fishes and you were there and there was a problem, would you have shared the little bit that you had? Maybe that's where you are right now. Do you still have problems? Do you know that you're not in your ability able to solve all the problems? But maybe you have something that could at least help. And it probably has to do with money, because a lot of what we do has to do with money. You probably can't solve the whole problem all by yourself, but maybe you know that there's something that you could do to help. What is your fish? What are your loaves of bread? I trusted what I had to Jesus. Is there something that is simple that doesn't seem like all that much by itself? But is there something simple that you could share, trust into Jesus' hands and share with him and see what he can do with it? Maybe it's a couple of shoes. Saturday we're going to be doing a measuring for shoes for the shoeless for kids in Xenia. Maybe it's a pair of shoes that you could trust into Jesus' hands. We're collecting school supplies to be able to give out to kids that need school supplies. And on the 16th, we're going to bless those school supplies, Backpack Sunday. Maybe it's some school supplies. It might be an hour or two to help out with, we're going to be doing some fundraisers for Imagine No Malaria. Maybe to help out with the meal, or maybe to help out with the walk and roll ride that's going on after that. It might be to write a note to a friend you know that maybe could use a word of encouragement. Or maybe it's just offering the word of encouragement. Earlier this morning, we had a group of youth that left on a mission trip down to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Maybe it's spending some time this week in prayer for our mission team that's going down to Chattanooga. In your bulletin, there's an insert. And on one side, it's got the list of schedule of things going on for the shoeless. On the other side is a fish. You now have a fish. Think about it. What's your fish? What is something simple that you have that you could trust into the hands of the Lord to see what the Lord can do with it? You won't believe what happened next. We started sharing bread and fish, and we just kept on sharing. And there was enough bread and enough fish for everyone. We even had leftovers. I got to be a part of a miracle. Oh, I give Jesus the credit. All right, but I got to be a part of it. He couldn't have done it without me. I got to help. Still to this day, I love to talk about what went on this day to anybody who will listen. Do you know what I did, Jesus and me? We got to feed 5,000 people, and I got to be a part of it. Now that I've had a chance to think about it for a while, I think about what was actually going on that day. And I think miracles like that actually happen all the time. But I think usually they take longer than they did that day. Jesus kind of made them happen all at once and a lot faster. You look at the fields, for example, around here, and somebody planted a couple of ears of corn or a couple of grains of corn. And then they grow up to be stalks of corn that produce more corn so that people have corn or cattle have corn to eat. Fish produce more fish, and then big fish eat little fish, and we catch the fish and we have fish to eat. On that day on that hillside, Jesus kind of sped up the process that I think happens all the time and made it a little more obvious. When I think about that day, one of the things that I wonder is, what is it that I really gave Jesus? I've learned that with Jesus, things are always more than they appear. And so I ask myself, is this really a story just about fish and bread? Or is it about something more? I think what I really gave Jesus that day was trust. I trusted that Jesus could take what I had and share it and turn it into something, do something miraculous with it. Do you trust Jesus like that? If you don't, I invite you to make this a time where you trust something simple into Jesus' hands. As I've watched from heaven over the years, I've seen there are some people that are really good at that. For example, there's a person named Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who when she started out telling her superiors, "I have 3 pennies and a dream from God to build an orphanage." Her superiors told her, "Wait a minute, Mother Teresa, you can't possibly build an orphanage with 3 pennies. And she'd always come back with a smile on her face and she'd say, "Yeah, but with 3 pennies and a dream from God, I can do anything." I also watched as a guy from Texas, a guy named Bob Buford, who was a media tycoon, had a son who was in his 20s named Ross. He was an investment banker who, in his 20s, drowned in the Rio Grande River. There were 41 trackers who searched for him, but they couldn't find the body. Buford himself hired airplanes and helicopters and boats and tractors and dogs, everything that money could buy, but they still couldn't find the body. As he walked along the riverbank looking for his son's body, he said, "It's as frightened as I have ever felt." He realized that here's something I can't dream my way out of. Here's something I can't think my way out of. Here's something I can't buy my way out of. Here's something I can't work my way out of. He realized this is only something he could trust his way out of. I asked myself, what was the real miracle that happened that day? Part of it was trusting, giving some loaves and some fish to the Lord in trust. But what was the real miracle that day? If you notice as I describe what happened, I don't say that people were full. I say that they were satisfied. I think that's maybe the real miracle, that people were satisfied. Are you satisfied? They went from being hungry and complaining to being thankful and satisfied. It's not just that their diet had changed, but their attitude had changed. William Barclay said, who's also heard of this story, "It might be that this is a miracle in which the presence of Jesus turned a crowd of selfish men and women into a fellowship of sharers." I like that, a fellowship of sharers. One of your pastors, Pastor Brad, has a colleague who is a chaplain for prison ministries. His name is William Waffles. He works over in, what's the town around Columbus? Chillicothe. Works at the prison in Chillicothe. He's a prison chaplain. He's worked there a long time, so he's gotten to know some of the inmates there really well. And they've developed this real trusting relationship. He calls most of them his friends. He also had this dream for a long time of going on a trip to the Holy Land. And he saved for a long time and was finally able to get enough money to go on a trip for the Holy Land. And so the Sunday before he was to leave, he told the inmates there that he was going to go on this trip and he wouldn't be there to see them for a couple weeks. They prayed with him. They were really excited for him. And then they all gathered around him and they started hugging him and, you know, giving him a shoulder tap and giving him high fives and really encouraging him. And then they all kind of broke up and they wanted, when he left, to give him something as a gift, a kind of a going away present. And so they gave him this, what had obviously been hurriedly thrown together and wrapped up with a bow, this little gift. They said, "Don't open it until you get home. It's all we have to give." He got home, showed the gift to his wife. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot that they could give. It was all that they could give. And so they opened it. He started opening the things in this package. And do you know what he found in there? He found his wallet He found his watch. He found his pen. He found a pocket knife that he usually carried. They had given back when they were hugging him, and they were also picking his pockets and pulling his watch off his wrists and all this. They said, it's all we have to give. He said that day, quite literally, he learned that everything I have is a gift. What if we would see everything that we have, even when it only seems like a little, as a gift? To be trusted to Jesus, to do miraculous things, to change problems into solutions. All right, I told you at the very end I was going to ask you, who am I? What character have I been trying to step into? Now for the question, who am I? Am I Jesus who is teaching people on the hillside? No, I wouldn't be that presumptuous. Am I Philip who is worried about how he's going to pay for dinner? Nope, didn't seem to have a whole lot of money worries here, did I? Am I Andrew who knows a kid who packed a couple of loaves, a bread and some fish? Am I the kid who has a couple of... There we go. I could have been one of the 5,000 too, or it could be somebody who has no clue that any of this is even going on. So my challenge to you is go and do likewise. Take the little bit that you have, trust it into the hands of the Lord, and see what the Lord can do with it. May it be so. Amen.